covering the crew all season long on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Inning. Now, live from American Family Field, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
Woo, there's the first one pinned in the game of the year countdown. Extra innings, first walk-off winner. Very well pitched. Down to the last moment. How about it? Brewers get the victory in 10 innings today against the Yankees. They take the series from the best team in baseball, and they go for the sweep tomorrow. Brewers win 4-3. I'm Dominic Catronio. Craig Kishon will be with us in a moment as well. 855-616-1620. If you're hanging out with us on a Saturday night, 855-616-1620. You know, William Contreras winning this with a sacrifice fly is just the tip of the iceberg of this game, because my big thesis from tonight's game is I thought this was maybe William Contreras' best game in a Brewers uniform. And you may be thinking, well, Dom, other than the sac fly, he didn't do a whole lot. He tied the game, of course, with the single to score Terang after the stolen base, too, but it wasn't the loudest day offensively, really, for anybody on the Brewers. But yet, for William, I look at it with two hits and a sac fly. One of the hits, of course, a bad bruise on Cam Schlittler's back calf. He got robbed by Aaron Judge earlier in the game on a great running catch near the warning track. Then the single by Terang, and then the sac fly beating up. But that doesn't even pale in comparison to what he did behind the plate today. The blocks he had on breaking balls in the dirt. Managing Chad Patrick through multiple innings of relief. Aaron Ashby through multiple innings of relief. Even D.L. Hall, multiple of stressful batters. I thought, you know, with traffic in virtually every inning tonight for the Yankees, I thought William just really handled things extraordinarily well. And the other thing you got to remember about the Yankees, they're a sneaky running team. They're in the top five in baseball in stolen bases, and the only guy that attempted a steal on him, Cody Bellinger, he threw him out. William Contreras leads baseball in caught stealings. That was his 10th of the season. We're seeing fewer and fewer teams run on them. That's not just on catchers. Pitchers deserve a little bit of credit, too, for speeding things up, varying their timing to the plate. But my biggest thing, and we'll talk about it with Craig in a little bit, too, just I really thought this was William Contreras' magnum opus of all the little things that he impacted in today's game, and it's only fitting that he gets the cherry on top. He's the guy that gets the walk-off RBI to win the contest. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620 is the text line. The Brewers pitched their tails off these last two games as well. We'll talk plenty about that. Even without Kyle Harrison's best stuff, Chad Patrick picked them up. Aaron Ashby, I know he hung one pitch all night. He was fantastic for two innings, minus one pitch with the Ryan McMahon single to tie things up in the 10th. That was it. I thought he was fantastic. Offense was late arriving, but they still came to the party nonetheless and got the job done. This one from Doug, big, big win. Every game is important now just to keep pace with the Cubs. Hey, we don't care about the standings in May. But if they get some help on the left side, they can stick with Chicago. That's something that is always going to be on the docket right now for the Brewers as we talk about what's going on. I thought Renjifo had a solid game tonight. I know he misplayed one ball on the tweener hop for Goldschmidt, but for him to draw the walk to lead off the 10th inning, staying within a moment, I thought he was not an overmatched opponent by any stretch of the imagination. And the pitching deserves a lot of credit, too. The way that the Brewers have pitched in these 19 innings of this series, they've allowed two runs. I mean, that is some special, special stuff right now. This one from the 608, considering the opponent, that was sweet. Yeah, short, sweet, to the point. I love that. This one from Mark, nice comeback and a walk-off for Wild Bill. Just a question, what is the time limit for a challenge? Did Murphy run out of time? Good question, Mark. It's 15 seconds from between whatever the play is, and it lights up on the pitch timers around the ballpark, so it's not like it's unknown to Pat Murphy, and in fact, that pitch timer also features a buzzer to two of the umpires, that the moment that that buzzer goes off, that's the expiration of the pitch timer and thus the replay timer. So Alan Porter, the crew chief over at third base, felt that buzz. Pat Murphy came out, argued. I thought for a second he was going to get run in honor of Bobby Cox, who we lost, unfortunately, on planet Earth today. Stories about Bobby Cox, I'm sure. And there's a funny one, actually, from Murph earlier today. Maybe we'll play it later in the show or save it for tomorrow. But that's the answer. 15 seconds is the time it takes. So while we wait for Craig, 855-616-1620. Let's get to the phone lines, 855-616-1620. Parker in Milwaukee. Parker, you're live on Brewers Extra Innings. Oh, Parker, you left us. Parker, you were right there, first in line. Well, call us back. And if you want to hop in, let us know if you want to hang out tonight. Just going down the box score here real quick for the Brewers. The winning pitcher is Aaron Ashby, his seventh win. He's 7-0. If Aaron Ashby gets to like 15 wins as a reliever, I think we can officially abolish the win. And nothing would make me happier. It just doesn't matter in baseball anymore. A loss and a blown save to Fernando Cruz. A blown save to Camilo Doval. Neither starter factored into the decision despite six shutout innings from Kan Schlitler. And Craig Kishon joins us now. You know, before you joined, Craig, I called this game maybe William Contreras' best game as a Brewer, not just because of what he did at the plate, what he was doing behind the plate. You add in the sacrifice fly, the blocking, the pitch calling, the antics with Caballero. I thought William was fantastic tonight, the all-star that he is.
Yeah, that's a really good call, Dom. Really good call, because I think we're at a point now with him where some of us could be taking him for granted back there. You know, it's almost like you get yourself a nice all-pro quarterback who just year after year after year is just taking his NFL team places, leads him to victories late in the fourth quarter, and you know, just stays patient throughout games and helps in the comebacks. And you could say all those things about William for sure. So I don't know. He's just a guy that when the spotlight is on or you need something to happen or you need someone to take control, he just does that. And, you know, I felt really good. I mean, I've got Contreras down in so many spots here right now, highlighted, starred, circled with a red pen. He is just fantastic.
You know, the one thing I really wanted to point out, and this is maybe it's a little early to be talking about this at the top of the show in the A block, if you will, but I mean, with the whole Caballero and the pitch timer thing, when he drew a walk from Kyle Harrison earlier in the game, first and foremost, what Caballero is doing is bending the rules in his favor. There's nothing stopping other hitters from doing what he does, meaning you have to make contact at 8 seconds eye contact with the pitcher. Now, if you're not making eye contact with the pitcher, you know, until 8 seconds, he cannot be set. He cannot be in the ready position to pitch. And he had already been warned, Kyle Harrison had already been warned about being set beforehand. You get one warning, and then if it happens again, you get a pitch timer violation on you. And Caballero got him to draw a walk in the fourth inning to keep that inning alive. But then the other thing is, the rest of the game, the thing I noticed about William, every time Caballero was up, he would be standing until the 8 second mark and then punch in the pitch timer. Those are the little subtle things that do not appear in a box score, that do not appear in a scouting report. But to understand, okay, this guy's getting funky with it, I'm going to make sure to beat him at his own game and not let him do anything crazy. And then he goes 0-for-2 the rest of the game. That's just a small example of the things that William does, or the kicking the dirt right behind the batter when he's actually going to set up away. He tricked Jazz Chisholm a couple times today when Jazz was on second, thinking he was relaying a sign of like, oh, where the location was going to be. Then it was in the opposite direction. Stuff like that just fires me up about the game, right, Craig? Where it's just the little gamesmanship stuff that, again, doesn't appear in a box score, but baseball people notice and go, man, that guy knows ball.
Absolutely. And, you know, because he does, he is, look, I would love to know how many suggestions or little things like that just in their pregame meetings that are his. You know what I mean? There's a lot of people involved in these pregame meetings as they go over the lineups and the bench guys and stuff. But there's a lot of scenarios that go down, and it's got to be a collaborative effort. And, you know, you just know William is, I would guess for the most time leading the way with those little subtleties that he says, this is going to play a part in the game. We need to nip this in the bud early, or we need to take care of it late if it comes up. And sure as heck, it was out there, and he was able to nip it in the bud at the time where it didn't cost the Brewers anything. If that happens later in a game, as the way this one turns out, that could be detrimental. But you know, he just calmly figures out a way to take care of matters and almost take care of matters into his own hands too. I mean, look what he did in this game at the plate and behind the plate and helping his pitchers out. This wasn't a clean or pretty game for the most part, but it was if you appreciate the little things about baseball, that's for sure. And he's got to be the first guy you mention along the way.
Yeah, I mean, ask the Yankees. They went 3-for-14 with runners in scoring position. And that third hit was the go-ahead hit in the 10th inning, and then they got an out on the base pass to not allow the inning to keep going. All right, so just it was a little bit of everything. Or Tim Hill in the bottom of the 10th inning thrown to third inexplicably. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the Brewers making this comeback from down 2-0, from down 3-2. The only time they led in this game was the final play of the game. I see you guys on the line. I see you on the line, Dante. I see you on the line, Dylan. I'll get to you guys right after this break. Brewers win 4-3 in 10 innings. Innings right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. Fun one tonight. Brewers come back and win it against the Yankees. They've won the series, and they go for the sweep tomorrow. I'm Dominic Catronio with Craig Kishon. Thanks for joining us. 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. We'll get to your text. Let's get to a couple of calls here. First, let's get to Dante from Milwaukee. Dante, you're live on Brewers Extra Innings.
Man, I'm a Yankees fan. I feel like Spencer Jones got to do something. Like, we didn't call him up for no reason.
That's it? That's what you waited on for, to talk about Spencer Jones on a Brewers talk show? Come on, man. You're better than that. What else you got?
Yes, I've been waiting to talk about Spencer Jones. Like, he's all right in the
then
field.
Then go over to WFAN. I'm not talking about Spencer Jones. I don't give a dang about Spencer Jones. He hasn't done anything in the big leagues. Good try, bud. Let's get to Dylan then in Milwaukee. Dylan, you're live on Brewers Extra Innings.
Yeah, long-time listener, first-time caller here. Thanks for having me. I was at the game tonight, and, you know, it just kind of seemed like a Pat Murphy classic managed game. Bats were quiet. You know, Schlittler was kind of dominating the game. But it was just kind of curious to get your guys' take on some key at-bats from Bowers and down the line, Curio and Contreras and so forth, and kind of how they just grounded out and stayed the course and got the W at the end of the game.
Yeah, great question there, Dylan. Appreciate you listening and calling in. So, Craig, let's start with Cam Schlittler, though, before we get to those great at-bats, because it's funny when you look at the scouting report and you see 90% of his pitches are fastballs, whether it be the sinker, the cutter, or the four-seamer, and you know what to expect, and you know you've heard good things, you know he runs it up there to near triple digits, and I think it's a big indicator, it's a flashing light to say, hey, I'm having success throwing really only fastballs for a reason, and I think tonight we saw that reason. He's got great command with it. He dominates the edges, the top of the zone. It's got velo. It's got deception. I walked away impressed because the swings and the at-bats and the body language you were seeing from the Brewers against Schlittler indicate they were not seeing it, they were not comfortable, and yet they were virtually all fastballs.
You got that right, but here's one more for you. I'm sure that the Brewers, after William Contreras had that liner off his calf, third batter of the game in the first inning, and I think we all thought he was going to go out. I mean, the guy could barely move. They took a long time, the trainers did with him, before, you know, he said, I can do this, and he took his pitches, you know, to prove that. But then to keep going, I mean, I think he was down on the ground or bending over at least two or three times in the second inning and the third inning. And to keep going and shut down the Brewers on two hits in six innings of work, didn't walk anybody. I mean, I don't know. This guy's in his own world, if you ask me. I haven't seen him in person until tonight, and I thought just with the early hit, Who would push this the first week of May, the second week of May, whatever we're in right now, for a team that you know is going to be in it in the playoffs and going for a World Series? Who would push him? But man alive, he told a new story about himself tonight, in my opinion, about how he is going to do whatever it takes. And I don't know if the Brewers early on were like, what do we need to do to get to this guy, to get this guy out? I don't know. But there are very few times you're going to see a pitcher do what we saw tonight in what he did. That's for sure.
No, I'm very impressed with Cam. Tough, you know, New England kid. He's from Boston. He went to Northeastern. That story has been told many times. Now, as soon as he got out of this game, Jake Bowers greeted a left-on-left at-bat with Brent Hedrick for a solo blast. You know, for Jake, it was his first home run left-on-left since the 2024 season. Only second time he's gone left-on-left in, I think, like 7 years for him since 2019. And it's partially lineup construction, right? They wanted to use Andrew Vaughn next for Tyler Black, so that's why it didn't hit for him for Bowers. Some of those lefties are just going to have to face lefties right now, and that's just how this team is built. And for Jake, I mean, he had been in a little bit of a funk lately, let's be honest, too. To see him connect on a 420-foot no-doubter left-on-left, I mean, I don't want to say it's much of an at-bat, but man, he was ready to attack in that situation and to finally get some life into this ballpark.
Well, and you know, those situations too can spark a guy who's been playing every day now and maybe wasn't a funk like you're talking about. But look, he had the exact approach you want against a guy coming in the game, a reliever coming in the game and you know, attacking early. And Bauer's done it before. I mean, he's had a few pinch hit style home runs that way too, and this kind of resembled that to me, especially in the situation. This guy is clutch late in the game, and they needed something to get going. I mean, they scored in the 7th, 8th, and 10th inning here tonight, and you mentioned it going to the last break. They didn't have the lead until the final play of the game the entire night, so he had a lot to do with that.
And then let's talk about that 8th inning when the Brewers tied things up. Two outs, nobody on. Bryce coming up against Camilo Doval falls into a 2-2 count and just pulls his hands in nice and tight and pulls a cutter into right field for a single. And on the very next pitch, turning on the Jets, getting to second base with a stolen base, and then the very next pitch after that, tie game. I mean, you go from one pitch away from ending the inning up by a run to three pitches later, tie game. That's Murph ball. That's Brewers ball. I mean, that's beautiful, beautiful baseball that the Brewers, as much as they're in this power outage right now, and I know Bowers went yard tonight, but overall, they are not hitting homers at a far less frequent rate than they did last year. To be able to have that in their back pocket and do it against an elite reliever like Doval and an elite team like the Yankees, it just gives you hope that it's like, oh, when the homers do come, there's nothing to worry about because they always have this available to them.
Yeah, and I think the homers will come. I'm not sure they're going to come in huge more bunches. I know, what are they, second to the last in the league, 29th in home runs here right now. What if they don't climb any higher than 25 or 22? I think this team is more built for how we saw them come back tonight and win it, scoring in that 8th inning the way they did and then scoring those two runs in the 10th. And to be honest with you, you can win just about any game you play if you're prepared to have a game plan put in place like they have, and they've developed a great one over the last few years here. Because if you're not hitting home runs and you're relying on home runs and you're relying on power in the alley and you're just not getting that on a consistent basis, but you're getting all these other things, in my opinion, you can win a lot of games, and it's no secret they've done that in a very successful way. I would love to see more power and more home runs and have them in key situations. But we saw times, you know, in the last, you know, 8, 9, 10 years ago when it was like, nope, we're going for the long ball. Nope, we're going for the alleys. We're going for the fences. We're not bunting. We don't care about putting the ball in play. This is how we're going to score. This is how you win games, though. And I think you can win consistently this way because look where they're sitting right now. They're what, 5 games above 500, and they're still waiting for key guys to get back who had been injured.
Yeah, I think that being 5 games above 500 with the fewest home runs in baseball, tied with the Giants right now. I mean, like, let me just give you the company they're sharing for teams that aren't hitting a lot of home runs. These teams are not 5 games above 500. The Giants, the Red Sox, the Mets, the Marlins, And then there's the Rays, who have been on fire because of their pitching right now. So I think, you know, slugging's at a premium across the league right now. There are only five teams with a team slugging percentage over 420. Everyone else is kind of in the upper 300s right now. The Brewers are well below that. That will improve, I think, as the season goes along. Let's take another breather here. Let's talk a little bit more about the Brewers' bullpen and their pitching staff as a whole coming up next, because some key contributors into this box score that maybe don't get a decision but help the Brewers get this 4-3 victory in 10 innings over the Yankees on 620 WTMJ. Let's do a little hot and cold. It's brought to you by our friends at Cider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. You know, spring is pretty much here. Today was a beautiful day. For a limited time at Cider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical, you can get $50 on maintenance plans through May 15th, or you can get $25 off with AC tune-ups all month long. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment today at Cider, Seider.com. I think this bullpen is a little underrated right now, despite everything that it's gone through and some of the bumps they had earlier in mid-April and that sort of thing. But tonight, the bullpen for the Brewers, just one unearned run. The placed runner in the top of the 10th inning is the only run that scored in six innings of work from Chad Patrick, D.L. Hall, and Aaron Ashby. Now, let's clarify, too. I don't think Chad Patrick is going to be sticking in the bullpen for now. They had time between his starts. The Brewers don't need a fifth starter until next Friday, so keep him on a semi-regular schedule. Keep his arm fresh. Still get 48 pitches out of him. I imagine he'll be making a start next weekend against the Twins. That being said, to get five strikeouts out of the nine outs that he got, that kind of raised some eyebrows and made me a little bit excited about what Chad Patrick could look like in the bullpen maybe at some point this year.
Yeah, how about that cutter, man? It was like so good, so established, and had everything to do with his success when he came in this game. So it was it turned out to be a really nice 1-2 punch with what Harrison was able to salvage out of his start here today, going the four innings. But you know, Patrick looked about as good as you're going to get. And it was, you know, it was an interesting scenario to have him in there, Dom, because yes, he is going to be needed as a starter, but I think this organization does such a really good job of at the right times of the season. And it's still very early in the season, seeing what they really have out of certain guys, if they put him in a different scenario. I'm sure they said to him, look, you didn't lose your starting job. We just don't need it right now, but we need you in a really key situation. And they can predict when that's going to come up or what game or what series it's going to be. And, you know, they targeted this one against the Yankees. So, I mean, just kudos to them for coming through and just having, I love the game plans that they have and how these guys are accepting their roles and whatnot. But, He was really good. I mean, he was the Band-Aid to get it to late innings and keep this score at 2-0 until the seventh.
When I look at D.L. Hall's line this season, I'll let me get the elephant out of the way first. Yeah, he walks a lot of guys. He needs to get rid of the walks, and he doesn't strike out enough guys to match up with those walks. 12 walks in 18 innings. He has 21 strikeouts in those 18 innings, but only 9 hits right now. Part of that could be scouting report of patience and everything like that. A 1.50 ERA in 18 innings this year. I'm seeing D.L. Hall right now develop into this important leverage ability to get both sides of the plate out, and maybe one of his best at-bats of the year. He falls behind 2-0 on Jazz Chisholm Jr. with men on the corners and one out, battles back to 2-2, and freezes him with a sinker at the knees that William challenges for strike three on the ABS system. That gave him some confidence, and he got Caballero to ground out to end the inning. I mean, DL is just in this quiet, important role in the vacancy left by Jared Koenig and Angel Serpa. Hey, who's that lefty that's going to help you get it to Ashby, get it to Uribe, get it to McGill? And I think Hall has been superb in this new role for him, the best we've seen him in a Brewer uniform.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question. You know, obviously when they got him, they thought he was going to be a starting pitcher. And you got to stay healthy to do that, that's for sure. And he wasn't able to do that. And then how do you fit in when you're not healthy, and all these other guys are establishing themselves not only as starting pitchers, but in the bullpen as well. Well, you got to keep at it, and he's been able to, you know, get himself to a really healthy point, and now some of these other guys are starting to go down. So guess what? It's your turn. Are you accepting it or not? And he's done a really nice job of accepting what his role is with this team here right now, Dom, and he looks to be in a perfect situation. How long will that go? I don't know, but if he keeps pitching like this, it's going to be for a long time, I think.
The other thing I thought, last thing with Ashby, I thought Murph and Ashby, I mean, they set it up perfectly for him to succeed tonight. I thought Murph played all the right strings there late in this game on the pitching side of things to have, you know, lefty-lefty and then Goldschmidt, and he ultimately struck him out, you know, to have 1-2-3 ninth. You know you're going to go back out there, face Ben Rice, and then you'll play it batter by batter. I think if Ben Rice got a board, we're talking about a different story in that 10th inning, but he strikes him out to open the frame. You knew they were going to walk Judge no matter what. I mean, there's no reason to pitch to Judge in the 10th. But then to face another lefty in Bellinger, who hits lefties well, gets him to fly out, and he had McMahon 0-2, and he hung a slider. It could have been a whole different story, but I thought Ashby was set up for success. I thought he made one mistake the entire night, and it obviously came back to bite him. He still earns the win, and just what a weapon the Brewers have there out of their bullpen.
He's been fun to watch blossom as a Brewer because there are frustrating times when you're hoping a guy is going to continue to grow and get better, and then sometimes that just doesn't happen. But they've stuck with him, and they've used him in the right spots up until what we've seen now, where he has become an absolute weapon in late innings, and a weapon because he can go multi innings and still be just filthy and nasty with his stuff. And it was on full display here tonight. It was, I don't know, when you can put a pitcher in a situation, especially against this Yankee lineup at the top of the lineup in a tie game or a one run game, and have it, you know, work out almost to the very end, two outs, two strike pitch. He had McMahon right there, but like you said, it just didn't work out in that situation. But you finish things up. They got through it. They're only down a run. And he leads baseball and wins. How in the world can that be? How can he be 7-0, Dom? That's like the best thing I've ever seen in the second week of May. I'm telling you, that's great stuff.
It's so silly. I hope it helps us abolish the win. It just doesn't matter anymore. But hey, I'm glad that Ashby's leading it. That's something for the Brewers and something to talk about, man. It's been quite the start to the year to Aaron Ashby. Well, we will talk to you tomorrow for some Mother's Day magic once again here at the ballpark. I've heard it's already going to be a sellout, so you got to love to hear that. And looking forward to maybe a revenge sweep of the Yankees tomorrow, Craig.
Little revenge from last year. Would not. It'd be a perfect Mother's Day present for all the mamas.
I would love it. Absolutely. Craig Keyshawn joining us. I got some texts. I got some live chats to catch up with. We'll also hear from Aaron Ashby in just a moment. Back with more after this on 620 WTMJ. Let's go through these texts and do some buying or selling. It's brought to you by Tony Wendorf & Associates. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, trust Tony Wendorf & Associates, one of the top real estate teams in Wisconsin. Powered by Keller Williams. They bring faith, family, and a red carpet experience to every home deal. Step up to the plate with a winning team behind you. WendorfTeam.kw.com. I'm Dom Catronio. Brewers win 4-3 in 10 innings over the Yankees. They have won the series. So let's catch up on some of these texts that have come through here tonight. Aaron in Illinois, all crew victories are great, but an extra inning walk-off against the hated Evil Empire, hard to top that. Could be a case made for player of the game for Ashby to be a team MVP. Credit to the Yankees. Schlittler with a gritty performance as well. William Contreras, player of the game. This one, Charlie from Mequon. Hey, just wondering why we can't call up Luis Lara. It is a good question. I talked about this a little bit earlier today on Brewers warm-up as well. Today, the Brewers placed Brandon Lockridge onto the 10-day injured list from his slide into the wall in left field. He had a deep laceration, but no fracture, no ligament damage as of now, which is great news for him. But the reason they called up Perkins as opposed to Lara, Lara's not going to play every day up here right now. I don't see a reason to bring up Lara right now. And again, he's 22 years old in AAA. It's a month into the season, and I've been shocked by how great he has been pulling the ball with power and what that development has looked like. We will monitor it as the season goes along, but I think the Brewers want to give him a runway where he'll be playing every day. And the same reason goes for Eddie's Leonard. You know, I see a lot of folks on social media and even on the text line here today and even on the live chat, call up Eddie's Leonard, call up Eddie's Leonard. He's got 1,000 OPS down there in AAA. And you're right, offensively, there's a lot to like there from Leonard so far this year. He was a minor league deal, was last with the Tigers last year, spent the whole year in the minor leagues there too. Or I should say with the Braves last year, I beg your pardon. But, you know, there's always other reasons that go into a guy hitting 343 and an OPS over 1,000 in AAA. Do the Brewers feel trustworthy with him defensively? Do the Brewers feel base running or other things that may be going on that you and I do not quite know? Down there in AAA, he's been DHing a good amount, but mostly playing. He's played 6 games at second base. He's played 15 games in left field, which is not where the Brewers need him right now. Then you look at shortstop. He hasn't even played any games at short this year because they got Cooper Pratt and Jet Williams down there. And then otherwise, 2 games in right field. He's been truly a utility player. He has not been playing third base this year for the Brewers. And I think that's part of the reason why Eddie's Leonard isn't up here. Could you put him at third right now? Not with how little experience he has there at third base in AAA. He's not been playing short because why put a guy on your 40-man roster as a shortstop when you've got Cooper Pratt and Jet Williams on your roster? And that leads to Jet Williams. When could they call him up? I mean, honestly, I'm kind of waiting on that. I think that if Jet can continue to play well, now granted, Cooper Pratt's the one who's hot right now down in AAA in Nashville, but you know, if Jet continues to play well and show what he can do, and maybe an opportunity presents itself up here, I still believe he would have been the first one the Brewers make a call for. Jet leading off today. He drew 2 walks and struck out twice. He did not get a hit. But still, Jet on the season in AAA Nashville. The slash line isn't impressive because he had a slow start to the year. 234 with a 689 OPS. But here in May, in 8 games, he's got a 429 on base. No homers, but a pair of doubles. He's got more walks than strikeouts right now, so we'll keep monitoring what Jet Williams is bringing to the table. Let's get to an interview from Lane Grindle with Aaron Ashby on today's network postgame show. Ash offering some take on his 7-0 record so far this year.
We are joined right now by Brewers reliever Aaron Ashby. 7-0, Aaron. How about it, buddy?
I have no idea, man. I have no idea. I'm just happy to be a part of it, I guess.
What a fun game to be a part of, as you just mentioned. Happy to be a part of it. I mean, this game had a little bit of everything. It was a great pitching matchup. It delivered in that regard. Just take me through your 2 innings on the mound. I mean, those are some really high-stress, high-leverage innings. In the 10th inning alone, you had to deal with Rice and Judge and Bellinger. I mean, that's not easy, yeah. Even though you put Judge on, which was the right call.
Yeah, I mean, I think I told Jim before the series I wanted to face him, so I was a little bit not frustrated, but you know, you want to face the best in the game there. But you know, that's putting him on there is probably the right call. He's arguably one of the best hitters in the game. So yeah, just kind of getting after it and trying to execute as good as I can and giving the team and the boys a chance to win.
I think one of the hardest things to do in the game right now is to be a reliever, come in the 10th and put up a 0, right?
Yeah. I mean,
you're inheriting a runner at second base. There's nobody out. There's so many ways teams can try to strategize offensively to hurt you.
Yeah.
And so when you come in that situation, now you'd already been out there for the 9th, but mm-hmm. what is the mindset when you come out in the 10th?
Yeah, the idea is to keep that guy at second. So hold him there, mixing looks, and basically going for the punch out. So the fly ball by Bellinger honestly kind of helps you in that scenario because you can kind of keep him there. Ground ball kind of tends to advance guys. So yeah, just keeping that guy there and you know, making a double or a hard single beat you. But yeah, it's just kind of going for the punch out and keeping that guy there at second.
Ash, I thought the slider specifically in the 10th was really good. It felt like you really had good command with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we kind of found a groove there, Bill and I, and we you know, executing it, strike one, which is huge. And then that last one I threw to McMahon there, just try to be too perfect, I guess, maybe a little bit. Still kind of biting my teeth about it. But that's a good hitter, man. He's I've faced him quite a bit. And he's, you know, I think he probably knew it was coming there. Just needs to be a little bit more off the plate.
Ash, this team got Churio and Vaughn back on Monday, and we know what those two meant to this team last mm-hmm. year, what they'll mean to this team this year. You're going to get Christian Yelich back, it sounds like, you know, sooner rather than later, at least. Do you feel a lift right now? Like, hey, the band's getting back together, we're ready to get this thing rolling?
Yeah, I think having those guys both in the lineup on, you know, against St. Louis there is just kind of like, hey, you know, we're slowly getting back to who we are. Time to kind of play our game. And, man, those guys just are a threat in the lineup, and it kind of it forces you to throw to the guys around them too. So that's you know, that's always helpful. And you know, getting those are two really tough outs for righties and lefties. So to have those guys in there is awesome.
Ash, I know you appreciate this game and you appreciate great pitching. And the last couple of nights, I mean, you've had Fried versus Miz. Mm-hmm. Fried maybe wasn't his best, but Miz was as good as we've ever seen last night. And then tonight, Schlittler, really exciting stuff. I mean, that is pretty special. And Kyle Harrison did a great job battling through a couple of stressful innings and limiting damage. And then what Chad did.
Yeah.
How fun is it for you? And are you able to really sit back and appreciate it as the game unfolds?
Yeah, you know, not as much as you are able to when you're sitting in the dugout maybe. And more maybe checked out of coming into the game. But yeah, I was so happy and proud of Chad tonight to come out of the bullpen like that. And I mean, he gave us some solid innings there. I think he won the game for us, you know, in a way. I think it's just been, this game's got a lot of good pitching. We got good pitching, and it's exciting to watch. Those guys over there are really good. I think it's impressive how they you know, Schlittler, like throwing with his, it's just like three fastballs. It's a cutter, four seam, and sinker, and he's going through lineups like that, man. It's impressive to do with basically just moving a fastball three different directions. So,
yeah, I agree entirely there, Ash. That's exactly what we were talking about with Cam Schlittler so far this year. How about Murph? We'll hear from him on the other side of the break here on 620 WTMJ. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Brewers win 4-3 over the Yankees. This was a game that they were trailing majority of it, but they never were out of it. And Pat Murphy knew once they got Schlittler out of that, they were going to have a chance. Here's Pat Murphy's comments postgame today.
That's what it's all about right there, you know what I mean? Like keeping the line moving, you know, and he knows who's behind him, but, you know, Jack wants to take it upon himself, and you love that about a kid. How old is he? 22?
22.
You just love that about a kid that is that young and just wants it all on him. You know, he's not having his best game, but he's, you know, he's been unbelievable since he's been off the DL, and to have him come through like that is great. And what can you say about Contreras? He's the guy who had four quality at-bats today, and he caught unbelievably. Pitching staff, it doesn't go unnoticed, you know, those guys. You got Harrison, never been a full-time guy in the big leagues. You got Chad Patrick, first time in the pen. DL Hall emerging as a leverage guy, and what Ashby's done is amazing. So you think about it, you know, that's 10 innings of pitching that was against that lineup. Best record in baseball. It was outstanding. But you got to, again, mention Contreras because he does it on both ends of the ball. Amazing. Bowers with a big swing. That was great.
Murph, can you share what you said or thought when Tim Hill opts to go to third there?
Yeah, man. That's a mistake. You know, it's a mistake. He's a veteran player. He's had a lot of great years. I think he's thinking, ball's hit enough to me, I can get that out at third for sure and maybe throw it across. I don't know. Terang's a good runner. Maybe he felt like keep the guy off third base. I don't know. Maybe he thought there was no outs. I'm not sure what he was thinking, but that's not the right play right there. Surprise the third baseman, you know what I mean?
Yes. Murph, out of all those bullpen performances, did any stand out?
Well, Chad Patrick, you know, three innings, three plus. Harrison was good, don't get me wrong, but couple leadoff walks, maybe, I don't know what he walked for, something like that. But Patrick was, he was sensational. His first time doing it, you know, he could, he's a second year player. He could, you know, be like, hey, what's going on here? I lost my starting role. Instead, he came in and, yeah, he was great.
Did he lose his starting role, Murph, or is that just because of all these off days?
No, he didn't lose his starting role. We just think he's possibly effective in that role. But with Woody down and Priester down, we're going to need him probably to start. So he is proud of the club, you know, like they've been through a lot this year. And to come up big here in these situations back against the wall, that's pretty cool. Against, I mean, that kid that started for them, he's sensational. Yankees got a great club. They're solid everywhere, you know.
Yeah, they are very, very solid. And the Brewers, like I said, they only led for one pitch in this game, the last pitch of the game, 4-3 the final. So let's relive it. That's coming up next. Highlights on 620 WTMJ. It's the second extra inning win of the year for the Brewers. Now they're a level 2-2. The Yankees are 0-2 in extra innings. And the Brewers have only allowed 2 runs and 19 innings against them. Well, they had to score more than that. Let's get you with the highlight recap.
Ready for this?
Out of here!
This?
Brought it back! Ho, ho, ho!
And this?
It is gone!
Time for tonight's highlights.
This was another great pitching matchup. Kyle Harrison for the Brewers, Cam Schlittler for the Yankees. Kyle did not have his best stuff, and in fact, it started with a bang early. A leadoff shot from who else? But Paul Goldschmidt, that's his 21st career home run in this ballpark, third most all-time for opposing hitters. It was 1-0 Yankees early. They added another run in the fourth inning, but it was actually good news given it was bases loaded, nobody out, and only one run scored in that fourth. It was the final frame for Harrison. Then the bullpen took over for the Brewers. Chad Patrick was phenomenal, keeping the Brewers involved, but they still hadn't scored against Cam. He exits after 6 shutout innings and 6 strikeouts. The moment he exits, the moment the Brewers' offense arrived with Jake Bowers.
Jake Bowers, first pitch swinging, high drive, deep right center, it is gone! Bowers on the first pitch he sees from the reliever, Brent Hendrick, sends it out to right center, and the Brewers are on the board. It's 2-1 New York.
All right, the Brewers finally getting some mojo. However, they would leave a man stranded in the seventh. In the eighth, a couple of walks kept some drama going. D.L. Hall came in to relieve Chad Patrick. With 2 men aboard, he wiggles off the hook.
2-1 pitch. Broken bat, one hopper. Hamilton makes the play. He'll throw to first anyway, just in case. D.L. Hall gets out of the jam, and the Yankees strand a pair.
But they're still down by one, and with 2 outs and nobody on in the eighth, they got a rally going. A single by Terang. He stole second. Wild Bill had himself a night.
Pitch to Contreras. Ground ball, left side, base hit. Terang sent around third. Bellinger's throw is late. We're tied. Contreras comes up with a huge hit, and it's 2-2.
This game would be bound for extra innings after the closers got the job done. In the top of the 10th, though, Ryan McMahon would give the Yankees the lead with the placed runner scoring on a single. And then in the bottom of the 10th, chaos after a wild pitch, a walk, a flyout, then a weird play where, you know, Jackson Chourio gets a single on the infield. It keeps men aboard and it scores a tying run. Inexplicably, Tim Hill threw to third base on a little chopper from Terang to set the stage for William Contreras.
The 0-1, and a fly ball right field. Judge tracking it, nearing the line, will make the catch, tagging his Renjifo. Down the line, here comes the throw. Renjifo's in there safely. The Brewers walk it off on a sack fly from Wild Bill. 4-3, your final, and the Brewers have won the series from the Yankees.
Fourth career walk-off for William Contreras and his career third as a Brewer. And as you heard Lane say it, that's a series winner against the Bronx Bombers. The winner is Ashby, 7-0, as we've mentioned. The loser and a blown save to Fernando Cruz. The 10 innings took 3 hours and 13 minutes in front of 35,600 28 at the ballpark. 4 runs, 6 hits for the Brewers, no errors. 3 runs, 7 hits, 1 error for the Yankees. Brewers left 7 aboard, the Yankees 9. So, what does a sweep look like tomorrow? Happy Mother's Day to all. 1:10 first pitch tomorrow. We're on the air at noon with Brewers warm-up to get you ready for it. Carlos Rodon getting activated off the injured list for the Yankees, making his first start of the 2026 season. A year ago, he was a Cy Young contender, 195 innings, career high for him, 203 strikeouts. Second time in his career, he surpassed the 200-strikeout plateau. The lefty was phenomenal. Power, fastball, slider. He keeps it pretty simple. Going up against the changeup specialist, that is Logan Henderson. That was pretty solid in his first game back in the big leagues. Despite his record being 0-1, he had the loss when he was pitching in a doubleheader against the Royals back in April. His last go-around, which was against the Nationals, 6 strong innings, 3 hits, 2 runs, both earned, no walks, and 8 strikeouts. For Logan Henderson. So he gets the ball tomorrow. And then it's another off day on Monday. So the Brewers still have Uribe and McGill available. Maybe even a batter for Aaron Ashby. So like I said, we'll be on the air at noon tomorrow for Brewers warm-up to get you ready for the program. And we'll be with you after the game as well for Brewers extra innings. And then we got an off day coming up on Monday. So this was a fun night at the yard for the Brewers. I'll try to do it again tomorrow. Man, I just really hope we finally have the roof open. Could tomorrow finally be the day we finally have the roof open? All the moms are asking, open the roof. Let's get a nice spring day here at the ballpark. Our producer has been Matt Yazel. I'm Dom Catronio. Thanks for listening, and keep on swinging.